Good evening, everyone. You've tuned into Paradigm Shifters. And who do we have for a paradigm shifter today? And remember, paradigm shifters are beings who are making a difference in the collective of humanity at this time on the planet. And we have someone who's working very hard to do just that right now. Our guest is Ginger Matro, who's bringing through Galexis, a wonderful collection or a consortium of beings from all over the place. So welcome to the show, Ginger.
Thank you so much.
So a lot of things are happening on the planet, and I know that Galexis is preparing us for, I think the last time we talked, we were talking about oneness or us all becoming one.
Right.
Yeah.
A new level of consciousness. And most people think of it as the great shift or ascension or whatever, and there's many different terms for it. But those who are listening in right now undoubtedly are part of the group that are feeling this and feeling this movement, feeling this surge, this propelled forwardness, you know, into the future. There's this future calling us.
And what is the propelled forwardness? Do you think it's
there's a sense that our souls are calling us.
Yay.
And it's just... It is just so dynamic, and it is just so thrilling that our souls, you know, our souls are excited, and we're leaping, you know, to move forward to the divine. We just want to expand. It's just natural to us.
Mm-hmm. And that's for hitting everybody.
Oh yeah, and it is. Of course, not everyone is sensitive to it or very aware of it. But overall, if you look at any human being on the planet, I would suspect that deep down inside themselves, there's a tremendous urge to experience the divine, to experience the greatness of unconditional love, to feel an extraordinary sense of freedom and to be in their power and to live in a friendly and loving universe. They crave it. They want it. They desire it.
Well, that's interesting because it reminds me of how we keep hearing that the systems are breaking down, and the systems are not exactly based on that oneness and love for all of us. So I imagine we're going to feel the shift on a collective level mm-hmm. as we move to a kind of oneness, aren't we?
That's right. But it does start with us as individuals.
So how do we deal with this, or is this where we start talking to Galexis?
I think we need to call Galexis in.
That would be great.
This is one of their favorite topics.
Excellent. It's one of mine, too.
So. Okay, so I'm going to head on out.
Thank you.
All right, we are here.
Hello, welcome.
Well, welcome to you too.
And you're actually a wonderful example of oneness, aren't you, as you come in as a collective of consciousnesses.
Absolutely. There are many of us. We come together. We can speak as one. We have no inner conflicts. We have no ego conflicts. We have no sense of separation, and yet we all have our distinct individuality at the same time. This is part of the imprint of the Aquarian Age concept, that you can be an individual and totally distinct, totally unique, and yet experience the collective oneness without losing anything, without losing yourself, without losing a sense of your consciousness or your awareness.
Well, Galexis, is that why you're here with us these days? Is that why you're coming through Ginger to speak with us?
That's part of it. Of course, we were initially invited to come in because the channel and her husband Daniel were wanting some additional information about things. And so she went to the effort to open up and to learn how to receive signals and information. And so we decided to share with her what she would like to know about. So we've been answering their questions for years.
Oh, that's wonderful. We're grateful that you're here to answer questions for us.
Well, thank you.
So for humanity to reach a level of oneness, and I gather we need kind of a critical mass of it. I mean, probably not everybody's going to go at once, eh?
Well, you have to realize that there is two factors that you're working with. One is that there is a concept of the collective that most people see in an objective way. They see there's people out there. Here's all these people on the planet. There's so many billion people, and there's so many people who do this, and so many people who do that, and so many people living in this country. And so there's all these facts and figures of this kind of quote-unquote objective collective of the human race. But really, in the essence of it, truly speaking, it is only one. And what that means is that you, as a consciousness, unique and individual as you are, you are creating this whole show. You're creating this world. Now, other people are creating this world. And there's in a sense, there's a conflict. There's sometimes a cognitive dissonance here. Mm-hmm. Because how can it be that it's only just one person? And if you know, the scientists say, well, we all share the same electron, you know? It goes around so fast that it's producing everything at all levels and frequencies and producing a whole world. And so we're all part of the same field, the same electrical field. But at the same time, you have chosen, each one of you as an individual, to create a world of your own design for you to experience your essence of your individuality.
That's our subjective world, our subjective reality.
Yes, it's your subjective reality. Mm. Mm-hmm. So the subjective reality and the quote-unquote objective reality, which, because it's an illusion, truly speaking, doesn't actually in a way exist outside of your imagination. You work these two together, you weave them together, and you're using the quote-unquote objective reality as your feedback or mirror mechanism, so that you get the right stimuli and the right understandings and the right opportunities to explore who you are and to do the creation and to hone your creation specifically to what you desire. And you're doing all of this in a process emerging out of the darkness or out of the lack of consciousness, out of the sleep, if you will, out of the forgetfulness of who you are, into the remembrance of who you are. So it's a very complex and very delightful adventure that
you've
gotten yourself onto.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad that sometimes it's fun anyway. Sometimes it's a lot of work. And you mentioned earlier soul. And I'm going, when did it all start? Did we come in as souls? Did the soul start the whole subjective search and creative exploration?
Well, some people came as a search. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, there is a certain level of consciousness one must attain before one can go and experience a whole reality on another planet. Hmm. So what most people are unaware of is that in order to come to physical Earth to be involved and engaged in a spiritual development program, generally one has to be pretty aware on another planet or another system or another frequency level or another dimension, that there is this great exciting experiment going on of creativity on the Earth plane, on planet Earth, and would you like to participate? And many souls, or actually all souls, have what you might call mentors or guardian teachers or special guides that help them in their growth and development and give them recommendations for what can be really the next great step for them in their spiritual development process.
Do they have to ask for the recommendations, or do they come to them?
Well, yes, generally they get together and counsel, so to speak, and play and explore and so forth. Now, you have to understand that a soul does not have an end. It's not like a finite lifetime that you're used to here on planet Earth. So going in onto planet Earth and taking on physical form and having many lifetimes and going through whole cycles and whole changes of consciousness can seem to be quite an interesting experiment. And just as perhaps going onto another planet and doing something there, it's like a research project.
What's the outcome?
Well, the outcome was, or is, The outcome is that, first of all, the person learns, the individual, the soul, learns how to create from scratch.
Mm.
Because part of the condition of coming to planet Earth is to go unconscious of your origin, of who you are.
Right.
Most people have no clue that they've been living in other star systems and doing other things like that, that they're actually, in a sense, extraterrestrials, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here they come onto the planet and have no idea who they are and kind of gradually wake up from their sleep of forgetfulness and catch a particular theme in every lifetime. There's certain themes that are available if you're kind of playing at one level, and if you're playing at another level, there are other themes. Now, those who are working consciously and deliberately on their spiritual path are those who have utilized memories and acknowledgements and tracks of learning from several lifetimes, or maybe many, and this particular theme of this lifetime has to do with learning who you are. And there's many lifetimes where people don't have a clue who they are from birth to death.
You mean this lifetime for most of us at this time?
Most people at this time who are consciously aware of the possibility of personal growth, development, and evolution.
Hmm.
And who are feeling some of the call to improve themselves, to grow, to have more and be more.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that can be a theme. And so a theme in a life can be of to remember who you are.
Mm.
And you do it through what we call your commission of challenge. The commission of challenge is the favorite place where you have most of your snags, most of your life lessons, most of your issues all kind of center around one major place and maybe a couple of minor places. Like some people are always having problems with money.
Mm.
Right? Other people always have difficulty with relationships. Other people just cannot seem to handle organization. You know, people have their own issues.
Mm-hmm.
But embedded within these issues is that by learning how to step beyond them and to grow beyond them, they become mature spiritual beings, empowered reality creators, and in that process of discovering this, they're also discovering their divinity. And what this tends to do is take people to the end of the cycle of birth and death, because there's no more need for the slumber of forgetfulness.
So creating our reality and divinity, our search for divinity, are aligned? They're part of the
same? Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
We put it in this way. We say that there are two missions.
Mm-hmm.
The first mission is the personal mission of self-realization.
Mm-hmm.
And where you really learn how to work your reality and so on. But the second one has to do with a greater perspective, which is also a reason why you felt excited to come onto the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in a lifetime right now.
Mm.
And that is because you wanted to be present to witness the great changes of consciousness. You wanted to participate in it. You wanted to have a sense of lifting this whole planet Earth, civilization, and all the people and the beings within it into the access levels of fourth and fifth dimension, rather than just being stuck in the slumber of three.
Hmm.
So it is two missions, and everyone has them.
So the moving the dimensions or into the third, the fourth and fifth, that's the collective, that's a oneness process.
Hmm. Yes, and as you find out who you are, then as you apply this to the world, then you're creating a different world that in which you can experience everyone else also as light beings. Then you recognize the divinity not just in yourself but in everyone. Because that's really the first basic principle of divinity.
Hmm.
Is that God is everywhere. There's no place where the divine is not.
Hmm.
And there are a lot of people who have, you know, disagreements with that. But in essence, everything that is created out of the same substance. It's just different frequencies. So even evil is created initially out of divine love.
Mm.
It's just a different frequency. And everyone wanted to experience everything.
Mm-hmm.
So some
came to experience the dark and the...
Well, that's right. And generally, you don't experience the dark more than a certain shadow aspect of your life. in a whole life. Few people really come to absolutely focus upon the dark magic or the dark arts or into the functions of what is called evil.
This I've heard rare. Many people say that our relationship to a dark force, say Hitler, for example,
yes.
has made many people come to their light in reaction or in polarization.
Right, exactly. The dark has quite as much function of healing, growth, change, and to propel people into the light as the light. But the thing is that as you grow in your spiritual awareness and awakening, you become mature, and when you become mature, you don't need the darkness to propel you into the light anymore.
As you spoke at the very beginning of a kind of the drive from the soul, is that not propelling us into the light?
Yes, it pulls you, it calls you, it seduces you, it stretches, you know, touches your heartstrings, and you just you just have to move forward. You just got to. You're compelled.
And I've heard also something I think I feel that this is true, although I'm always open for discussion on that, that when people are deeply lonely, it's often a search for that connection with the soul and that awakening to what is really themselves, is it not?
Well, it can be. It depends on how they utilize their isolation or their alienation energies or loneliness. What they're working with is the energies of separation. And of course, if you have to experience separation, what is this going to keenly make you desire? Is union or reunion, is connection. There are three.
But I was wondering if that connection had to be with one's own inner soul, with one's own inner purpose.
Oh, that's where it begins, absolutely. Yes. And so some people really live very solitary lives, because if they were in relationships and very busy with in activities with other people, when would they take their time to prioritize themselves, to value themselves enough to get into their own heart and really learn to love themselves? Many people throw themselves away to their family, to their communities, to to consensus.
Well, so let's go into this time in history, which I think is a pretty exciting time, is it?
Yes, it's the most exciting time, we would say.
Yes, incredible. And we hear a lot about the systems breaking down, the economic challenges, the greed, the oligarchy, the development of poverty, but it's all going to change. We're going to bring heaven to earth. Can you talk a little bit about that process and how it relates to our creativity and touching our divinity and getting to oneness? Is that too big and broad?
Well, you have a few weeks here.
Yeah.
All right. Well, in essence, the bare bones of it is that, yes, in order to move to a new order, to a new paradigm, being a paradigm shifter, you understand that every one of you must come to a new paradigm consciousness. And this paradigm consciousness has a network with others who are moving in the same direction. In other words, you are being reinforced by the forces of nature, by your spirit helpers and guides, by a network of people all around the planet, virtually all of whom you do not know, but who are also on the same pathway with the same intentions, globally speaking. And in this kind of matrix of light, you are have to move through a redreaming or revisualization process. And to get yourself to the place to where you can really reimagine, redream, and create a new paradigm, you have to a certain extent, separate yourself, distance yourself from the old one. And as long as the old one seems to be functioning, or haphazardly functioning, just enough to put a Band-Aid on and limp along with it, most people have a tendency not to make a break from convention, not to break out and bust out of the box.
Because they don't have to.
Because they don't have to. It seems like they can make some progress, a little progress here, a little progress there, a little baby step. Hey, it's real cool, you know, we can do this. But the time is accelerating tremendously. And human beings, interestingly enough, have very short lifespans compared to beings on other planets and other systems, and also to other lifetimes that each one of you have had in other places. To have a lifespan of 100 years or less is shockingly short. If you had about 2,000 or 3,000 years, sure, let's take our time, right? But the thing is that you want to cover a whole bunch of ground just as the energies are exponentially accelerating. You're on a spiral that's getting tighter and tighter and faster and faster, a spiral of evolution. And so in order to burst out of the box and get into the new paradigm and to imagine it, you have to empty yourself of what it is not, i.e. you have to create the void. You have to create an emptiness, a space. And this void or emptiness, in scientific terms, is called the chaos. Now, there's also the bedlam style of chaos where there's craziness going on. And that's also happening, too.
I was going to say, we have a little of that going on.
Oh, you have both types of chaos. Now, chaos is really a place of creative foment. But most people don't think of it that way. If they focus on it, most people see it as a breakdown of what they were relying on to be consistent and to keep them on track and to give them orientation to life and so on and so on. But you see, if you're going to change paradigm, the orientation must go. Because the orientation that your cultures have been on is to fear, is to shame, is to powerlessness, manipulation. It's not a paradigm that is going to be able to bring in a golden age. It's just not. And it's not what's going to help people find who they are and revel in it and celebrate it. So in order to get there, you have to create the chaos and have to enter this kind of high degree of creativity, which means everything is jumbling around. So it's almost as if you fragment everything and then you select the free pieces that work for you that are in the higher frequency that you are urging yourself towards, that you're moving towards, and you're reassembling through these particular frequencies a new energy field, a new paradigm, a new matrix for you to live in. And so the breakdown is what most people are focused on. But those who are light beings who have that sense of destiny about this time, indeed this is a time of destiny.
For all of us.
In a sense, for your whole planet, yes. It is a time of expansion, a time of evolution, and the spiral of evolution, when it gets tighter and tighter and faster, at some point it goes bing and it goes through to the next dimension. So there's, some people call it ascension to the next dimension, or some kind of evolution to the next dimension, or whatever. But this process that's going on is occurring personally by understanding who one is, and accepting the mantle of the powerful reality creator, light being divined by one's own nature. And that is propelling you personally through this spiral. And the tighter the spiral gets, the more chaotic it gets. And so as you enter this crazy period of change and fragmented, a lot of people are lost and floundering. In fact, as we have talked with many of our friends and in our Wednesday night series, the masculine energy in particular, which has been holding a sense of dominance, is breaking it apart into fragments.
So would you say the masculine energy is in its tightening spirals?
Absolutely. It's got to redream itself. The way the masculine consensus works right now, it no longer serves the spiritual needs of the people. It's basically a trap. It feels like a prison. It's a horrible prison of shame. And it's time for men in particular to break out of it and free themselves from that horrible sense of failure within themselves, or fear of failure that they have, or fear of being humiliated, rejected, abandoned, etc., and to be able to step into the light and ownership of their spiritual nature.
Because that old way has to fail, doesn't it?
It has to fail because in that old system, you cannot experience any oneness. You cannot open enough. You cannot be vulnerable enough to experience oneness.
And in self-realization, self-truthfulness.
That's right. You don't know who you are. Mm-hmm. How can you experience who you are if you don't know, have a clue who you are, and you don't even have a situation that enables you to even feel your own urges? But one of the interesting side effects of the economic crisis and meltdown that is that a lot of people have lost jobs, people are not making as much money, people are losing clients, people are having to move, people are, you know, going through a lot of struggle. And in the process of this struggle, what people are finding is that they must, absolutely must, redream themselves. They must reimagine their life. They must put it together in a new way, because the shame method doesn't work. You can't just lose your job and then go home and sit there and drink booze and die. You just can't do that.
Or watch TV and be shamed some more.
Yeah, and be shamed some more and just stew in your shame and feel bad and be depressed and so on. Yeah, there's a lot of suicides of people who cannot stand that, but they don't know any other option. But what the exciting part of this is that because of the spiral of evolution, there are many, many, many other options that are bleeding in, that are seeping in from higher dimensions. Mm-hmm. Because as you get closer to the leap, you see, you get more and more feedback from the other side. And that's what's going on right now. There are more of us who are what you might say helpers and assistants to you and your growth from the other side than there are of you on the planet, for sure.
Well, that's encouraging, isn't it? And are you drawn in by, are you magnetized by the amazing spiraling, the tightening of the spiral?
Oh, it's so exciting. We're participating in it to the extent that people request our help with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see, the tightening of the spiral creates a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a sense of a point where you have to let your old self go, the old image of yourself, the old world that you lived in. You have to let it go. And most people are very attached to it and scared that there's not going to be anything else to jump to.
Hmm.
That's what the chaos is in its dark side. And you've got to sit with that and you've got to be aware of it. But you see, you can't just do nothing. And that's the exciting part of it. The human nature was not made to do nothing. The human nature has tremendous motivation, has tremendous amounts of energy, and wants to do something.
And actually, when you go back to the soul wanting to be, to call, the call of the soul must be coming up through in many of these tightening spirals, even the ones that are drinking the beer.
Exactly. In these crisis moments, people are closer to their soul than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
Just as at death, people are closer to their soul because their soul is coming for them, you see, or their soul, they will lift to their soul or into their soul or into the wholeness, more wholeness of their soul.
And the soul has some answers, right?
Well, it's not that you're asking questions. You see, what it is that you already have a knowing, but what your question really is in a sense, how do I put myself together to get there?
Mm-hmm.
What resources do I need to get there? And the thing is that if there's enough chaos, you will ask these questions. And you will seek resources. The resources will not be financial necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
They won't be old-fashioned resources because those resources are closed down temporarily. They will come back as the economy will reemerge. But right now, it's in the time of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So as people seek it, they ask, please, you know, where's my resources? How do I get there? And so as soon as
and
people
what is
ask
there?
That, and
what
there is where they know they got to go, but they don't know what it is exactly, but
exactly.
They're pulled. And so this is where the resources that come from spirit are helping on a tremendous level, and people are in the crisis. It's in crisis. It's like the kick-ass school of growth is what we call it sometimes. People require some kind of major catastrophe or crisis in their life before they will really grow. You know, for example, sometimes people have to have a horrible, messy divorce or horrible breakup before they can really step into their light and discover who they are. It's just one
but
of those
But like our processes, it's like a process of dissemblement, isn't it?
Yes, this is part of the process.
Mm.
And, of course, right now, as a creative time is opening up, a tremendous opening.
Mm.
For creativity. And it's not just creativity in terms of writing good books and things like that. It's a creativity in imagining and dreaming a new world.
Mm-hmm.
And people are starting to really stretch there. And in the darkness, in the connection with the soul, in the chaos, people are tapping into their memories of what it is on other dimensions, in other ways. Just kind of hints and memories. What would it be like to live in a world where there's peace? And people respect each other, and people are responsible for themselves. What would that be like if you could live in a world where there was no one feeling inadequate or unworthy or unloved? What if you could live in a world where people knew themselves, who they are, didn't take anything personally, could laugh at themselves, and could laugh and celebrate with other people, could support other people and be supported to give and receive love? What kind of world would that be?
Mm-hmm. And to be happy for the success of another.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And use for another person's success as inspiration rather than going into fits of jealousy and wanting to sabotage somebody.
In self-defense. And there's a whole entrepreneurial spirit, too, as the economic world is kind of crumbling. Part of that whole visioning and dreaming is coming up with new business ideas and
absolutely
a totally different way of running.
And
the resources.
Not only is that a very important aspect of building the new paradigm or new business ideas, and also what you might call the green industry, looking at ways to, you know, help save the planet while still making money and so on. But what's very interesting is the majority of new business startups are by women.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
And so what is going to be the answer to the broken down masculine? It is going to be to discover the balance between the masculine and the feminine in a very healthy way. And so at this point, it is up to women, in a sense, to take leadership into the way of doing something. It's time for women's way. Now, we're not talking about insecure princesses who, you know, who have to go shopping, you know, if they're upset over something, or who are addicted to sugar or whatever. No, we're talking about women who are becoming aware of their own power, their own independence, but their capacity to love and their strengths.
And our capacity to shift our identity all over the place.
Right.
Which men haven't had that flexibility.
Women have been forced to be flexible
yes.
in their identity. Men have been straitjacketed into a macho identity, mm-hmm. which doesn't fit most men, you know. Mm-hmm. But for women, that flexibility has enabled them to dream how to work together, mm-hmm. how to work as in a partnership and supportive, because that's what roles they were given. Is they
for
learned
safety
that.
And nurturing. Too.
Yeah, they learned it for safety. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to be for safety. It's going to be proactively for health and joy and empowerment. And so, and in that will be a new level of safety, people having social skills that they can work with other people, and it's not going to be that same sense of competition. It's in the competition where there's winners and losers, and that's where the shame is inbuilt in your culture. And as the competitiveness starts to lose ground and more become a network, more become an association of many different people doing similar things or different things and cooperative with each other and responsible for their own reality, you're going to see a huge surge in the way businesses are run. Almost everyone who's ever had a job has a bad story, really nasty story, about some kind of boss who was just a real, real badass, right?
Mm-hmm.
And controlling, manipulative, and absolutely stupid sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's stories like this everywhere. This is almost the typical boss, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
It's lampooned on TV all the time. But in the future, the boss is not going to have that sense of pressure and demand to that he or she must be perfect, and his or her department must shine, or otherwise he or she will get canned, right? It's not going to be under that type of incredible, excruciating pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it's going to be how happy are the people who work in that department? How productive can they be by working together? You see? Mm-hmm. It's a whole different orientation. And that's what's being redreamed right now. It's going to be the foundation of the oneness, a foundation of community. And of course, particularly in this country, in the United States, the focus has always been, the priority value issue has always been about money. Mm-hmm. Right? And so when the money systems get kind of damaged and people can't trust money anymore, can't trust the old vehicles for money, you know, am I going to lose all my money in real estate or the stock market or the bonds or, you know, what am I going to do with my money? You know, or whatever's left of it, you know. And so it suddenly forces people in this chaos to look for something else that is of greater value. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, people are going to always need to survive. But maybe they don't need to survive with a cutthroat competition and deny themselves lots of joy of life by being workaholics, driving themselves insane for money.
Of course, that is a survival tactic, isn't it? Sort of throw yourself off the wall because you got to survive instead of live.
Right, but it takes this whole idea that your universe is totally unsafe.
Right.
That people are out to get you.
Right.
That any old day, you could be just, you've stabbed from behind, so you've got to watch your back and you got to strike first. Mm-hmm. And this whole mentality, this war, you know, battle mentality, hostile mentality, it's violent. Mm-hmm. And all the violence on the planet, all this rage and fear and torment of the shame acting up. And so it's coming up to the surface. It's dumping on the surface. That's why so many crazy events are happening, like somebody just getting a gun and shooting a whole bunch of people because he lost his job. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't know what to do. He's going insane with the shame. Mm-hmm. And the rage, and he doesn't know how to handle himself. And the only thing he knows to do is, I got to do something. I got to get it out of my system. I've got to go kill some people.
And I don't care if I live or die at that
That's
point.
Right. And generally, they'll turn the gun on themselves at the end, most of the time.
So I want to jump back from that,
yes,
which is very powerful and very helpful. But let's go back to the education systems on the planet, because we're talking about violence, and we're talking about people's identity being kind of fixed in these directions, particularly men. But I get very perturbed about our education system. Do you see it kind of evolving with little kids that they're brought up into? What do you see?
It's here and there. There are really beautiful glimmers, mm-hmm, where children are treasured and given value, but also are taught as a certain amount of responsibility, mm-hmm, which in the last wave of education, we don't want children to feel bad about themselves, so we're not going to grade them. But then they don't have any orientation, of course. Mm-hmm. And so they can't be responsible and see the results of their actions, and they lose self-esteem. So there has to be a balanced approach to it. Unfortunately, it seems to us that the way the educational system is so entrenched right now, with the teachers' unions and all the curriculum and the testing and the No Child Left Behind program and all that kind of thing, is that actually that got a bad educational system codified into, you know, yet worse situation.
Well, it seems to me that they don't teach a child to be who he or she is.
No, because all creativity has been removed from the teaching process,
right,
which means that the teacher cannot really be flexible in their interactions with children. They've got to be little machines. Mm-hmm. Now, as we said, there's glimmers of hope here and there, but unfortunately, things that are huge institutions very violently resist any change. Institutions like religions, they don't want any change.
Mm-hmm.
And education is an institution. No change, please.
And the medical association.
And the medical lobby and the standard American medical system. You know, it's institutionalized up the wazoo. So nobody's going to want any change there. The government, they don't want change there. The executive, you know, the Congress people don't want any change. You know, it's like everything, once you get entrenched, mm-hmm, so it's going to be kind of slow. But the way that it's going to change is by the individual, mm-hmm, who dreams themselves anew. And that's where you come in. And these individuals, for the most part, are not going to be the children, or always the parents who are working with the children. There are going to be a lot of times people who are retirees, or people who are like in their second or third or fourth or fifth career.
Mm-hmm.
You see that they've had a lot of variety, and they're okay. You know, the economy's shifting. Okay, let's find out what else we can do here.
Mm-hmm.
And people who for one reason or another have found that helping other people is more rewarding. And in the helping of other people, they are learning about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the rise, if you've noticed, it's just an astounding number of people who call themselves coaches now, mm-hmm. life coaches. You see?
And they're often mature people before they start.
And you have to be a mature person. You have, in a sense, the only way it's going to work is there's enough adults, true
mm-hmm.
adults, you know, bringing information in and helping individuals and lifting people and inspiring people.
Well, this is a perfect segue into what are the levels of, say, human adjustment to maturity. You talked about adults. We start off as children and then we move to adolescent. And a lot of our systems have been run by kind of a young adult or a... Well, mm-hmm. I'll let you explain it.
Oh, all right.
Where are we headed?
Well,
there,
you
Galaxis?
See, where we're headed in general is
mm-hmm.
this. You have a whole culture that's moving to a new level of oneness.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new level, is oneness. And the channel took a course with a marvelous a spiritual teacher who talked about it in terms of the chakras. There are seven chakras, and most of your listeners understand or know about the chakras, you know,
right.
the root chakra, the sacral chakra, the solar plexus, the heart, the throat, the third eye, and the crown. And these chakras are vortices or energy centers where energies come in and out of you, where you can repattern, rehone, retune, recalibrate yourself. Now, the culture that humans began on was essentially a first chakra culture, which is the root, which is the bottom, the base. It's survival.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are still in survival mode, particularly in third world countries where they don't have established systems of commerce and so on. And so it's every person for themselves.
They're right? established as an underdog.
Well, no, it's not by nations. It's by individuals within the... You know, it's people who are poor. They have to scramble and do the best they can to survive from
right.
day to day.
Right.
Right. That's root chakra way of being. And it might have related a little bit to very, very early humankind. But the second chakra relates to us. It's, you know, family, clan, tribe. Okay. So a tribal culture. And that we are better than they, or we have the only way.
Mm.
It's a black and white kind of culture. Now, the child is a survivalist. The child is trying to hang on to survive. So child is kind of a root chakra orientation. The adolescent gets with others and is in competition, and you know, if you go to a game, a sports activity, our team versus their team, and it has this kind of competitive, and that's a second level civilization, second level personal life level is adolescent, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the third level of civilization, which is called the rule of law, okay? It's law and order. And these are where you have legal systems that are very extensive, and hopefully it will make it good for everyone to live in the culture under common rules. That way they can figure out how to get along.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They won't fight each other too much because we've got laws
mm-hmm.
to figure it out. And those that are really disruptive, there's laws that we're going to punish them with, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a kind of a rule of law to keep everything under control. This is analogous in your personal evolution to the young adult stage. That's late teenage years, early 20s, where you think you know everything, you think you're ready to take on the world and live your big dreams and the big fantasy, and this is the way the world should work, and you know exactly how the world should work, and by golly, if they made you president, you could really fix it all. You know, that kind of arrogance that comes with youth, right?
Mm-hmm.
and feeling you can just do anything, right? And so that's kind of analogous to that third level of civilization. And the United States is a third level civilization. But what is happening here then is that here in the United States is the birthplace of the new age, as you may call it, or the new world. And it is here it's being dreamed, a next level culture. The next level culture, fourth level culture, is a culture of cooperation in which the government is run like a cooperative, you know, not like a kind of like a adjusted, you know, oligarchy or whatever. It's basically run in a cooperative manner. And the people who participate in this, the level of growth, is adult, true adult. Now, the true adult individually, if you get to a true adult within yourself as a person, you have achieved your personal mission. Then you can move to the global mission, bringing your whole reality into frequency alignment and harmony and oneness with you. Now, most people think of trying to get in alignment with them, you know? But no, it's really, it's you. It's all about you, and you put everything in alignment with you. Now, we're not talking about your ego. We're talking about an adult. And here's what an adult is. An adult is a person who can, who knows that he or she is powerful, is free to make their choices and to be who they are, right? Adults also feel safe in their reality, that because they know they have resources, they are confident that they can respond accurately and correctly to every circumstance that comes their way. They may not know how to do it until it happens, but they know that one way or another it's going to turn out okay and they'll be able to do it. They also have a tremendous capacity to give and receive love. All right? This is the adult. The adult actually utilizes the positive aspects of the child, which is very creative and imaginative, and the child is has a sense of wonder and discovery and a sense of innocence. Right? The positive side of the adolescent is this sense of you know, it's in adolescence that a person discovers their passion. They discover something that they really love, a craft, and they put it together. They will practice an instrument for long hours, you know. Whatever it is, they get into something. They get into their likes and dislikes. They get into stuff, and they're really fascinated with it. And then the positive of the young adult is that they can dream visions. Their imagination is out of the box. And so you utilize those, plus you add the awareness of your own divinity and claiming of your own power as a reality creator, and you've got an adult, a spiritual adult. These spiritual adults is each one of you step into the spiritual adult, freeing yourself from all judgment of yourself, from all the shame, from all the pain, from all the rage, the terror, all the emotional debris, the depressions and stuff like that. All of that drops away as you step into the adult, as you release that, because it's not of the frequency that you choose to live your life from moment to moment by. As you get into the adult, your reality around you begins to change and become more magical. Your life becomes more magical, more in sync with the flow and the timings of the universe, working in alignment and harmony with you. Right? And so just think of this expanded exponentially. As you get more and more aware of your divinity and are capable of doing that, you're creating bigger and bigger circles, your bigger ripple effect, with you being the, you know, the pebble in the pond, so to speak, making impact on the planet. Imagine now what if hundreds of thousands of you are doing this. Do you see? So imagine what if hundreds of thousands of you are doing that.
That's very exciting, isn't it?
You see, that will change the whole frequency of the planet. The whole Earth and her people and her plants and animals and everything can then lift into an expanded state to connect with fourth and fifth dimensions.
How many do we need?
One. At you. It only takes one, because you're dreaming the whole thing. You're dreaming the whole reality, so it only takes you.
So if you, I understand what you're saying, which is it only takes one. It's a subjective truth. It's a subjective reality.
Yes.
But isn't there kind of like a 1% number or something that would be the critical turning point for enough of us?
Well, we would say that in the past that might have been true.
Okay.
But what we're seeing here is that when you're working fourth and fifth dimensionally, that type of science is transcended.
Oh, interesting.
Right.
So then it becomes, this is where I always get really mixed up. If we are sitting together and we're subjectively creating the reality of our dreams, we can all be sitting on the same couch and living a totally different reality.
Right, that's the paradox.
Mm-hmm. Is that why 2012, the calendar doesn't seem to work anymore?
Well, that's part of it, yeah, but it's already, you know, what has been suggested to be the sign of 2012, i.e. alignment with the center of the galaxy and so forth, has already happened.
Ah.
We're already there. It's just that if there's always a transition. You know how the Aquarian Age came in, you know, back, it began coming in the mid-1800s, and it didn't finish fully coming in. The full transition didn't complete itself until, you know, maybe less than 20 years ago.
Hmm.
So there's a transition because you believe it so. Now, as you change your beliefs, as you can stretch and imagine, things can change in a much more rapid or much more magical way. But right now, you still tend to, all of you on the planet, haven't been trained and ingrained in you to think linearly. So you're going to think in terms of, okay, it needs to be a certain number to kind of overthrow the, over, you know, maybe it's the, you know, some specific percentage, and that'll over, you know, tip it over, the tipping point, you know, as they call it.
You don't agree with the tipping point?
The tipping point, you can see that in social trends if you look through a filter that's linear.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, sure, there's a tipping point, but the linear consciousness is only a small part of your consciousness that you're coming into.
Hmm.
You're inheriting, in a sense, from yourself, from your higher self, from your, the divine, you're inheriting a greater consciousness than the linear consciousness.
When we awaken into our divinity and our ability to create our lives, are we able to drop off our the kind of long journey it's been finding consciousness in our great forgetting at the beginning of the soul's journey? Can we drop it all off, or do we cart it along with us as material to be invested in?
Hmm. All right. Well, the thing is that you will always, when you step into consciousness, be able to, from a level of conscious awareness, remember all your quote-unquote past and future. It's going to be part of your memory. And then you can change it and edit it however you choose to. But you're not going to be attached to things such as karma. Right. Or the ideas of karma. You're not going to be attached to time and space. You're not going to be attached to thinking, oh, I've got to rectify this misdeed and I've got to be punished for that. You know, in other words, heaven and hell are going to be thrown out, you see,
mm-hmm.
because it's they don't fulfill a useful function anymore.
Well, they've kind of lost their potent position anyway, haven't they?
Right. They were basically used as modulators of people's behavior through manipulation.
Mm.
A threat. Okay. Threat of hell will propel you. That's a kick-ass school of growth again. Will propel you in being good, on being on good behavior, so that God will let you into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, you have to become, in a sense, divine, the understanding and becoming the God yourself. Within. And as you do that, you touch the divinity of all others. Then you recognize that heaven and hell were just what you might say energy frequencies or frequency bands that you can choose or not choose depending on what you would like to play with. And of course, most people, as they end their final, quote-unquote, final lifetime, as they come into their full consciousness, they will expand to the frequency level at which they have come to an awareness of. So if you, the more awareness of your divine nature you have in this lifetime, at the time of your death, you will go to whatever that frequency level is of experience on the other side, and then continue from there, going into higher and higher realms of love.
So we have to draw to a close, which of course is a ridiculous idea, since this can't really close ever, this conversation.
Well, now that we've gotten way out there, isn't it?
So I'd like to bring it back to a little bit of simplicity for people listening, which is what I've heard you say is basically it's about understanding that we're creating, we are divinity, we
yes.
have a subjective
you
reality.
You are a spark of consciousness. You are a piece of the divine. A particle in the body of God, God is all that is. Right? And your mission is on this planet to own your divinity, and through that, to step into a reality and create a reality for yourself and your world of empowerment, of love, of freedom, and safety. And in your daily expression, through the three channels of divine expression, first of all, to connect with others in giving and exchanging love. We call that love, touch, heal. The second channel of expression is to create, to move energy, to move and flow with passion, to create the divine flow. And the third one, to grow, to learn, to expand, and to recognize always more and more of who you are.
How wonderful. And how can people read more about you or hear more about you?
All right, well, there is a website, galexisspirit.com. All right, galexisspirit.com. And we also, for those who live in the LA area, we have Wednesday nights. Phenomenal. We do downloads on everyone. We give everyone a tremendous juice, tremendous booster, and a lot of healing. Love and healing evenings, that's what they're called. We also do workshops. They're available on CDs. They're available through the website and also available on iTunes.
Oh, wonderful. And the downloads, I want to remind people, are an amazing way to kind of flush a lot of old frequencies through you quite quickly and give you a much higher resonance. It's really a leg up, isn't it?
Well, the downloads are embedded codes that allow you to unfold your divinity in a particular way.
It feels wonderful.
Oh, fantastic. We're glad you think so. We enjoy them very much because it gives us a chance to work with people on many dimensions, especially through the night after we give a download. So people can get a tremendous boost over months sometimes after a download.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for all these wonderful concepts, for your presence on the planet and through Ginger and with all of us. Thank you so much.
Well, we're so delighted that you invited us to speak with you, and we're very grateful for the opportunity to say hello to so many beautiful light beings.
Thank you. Good night.